I'm trying to remember what Ryan said last week. Purpose, look at that, see? So I'll just give you the exact note that Ryan gave us last week. Because I take notes sometimes. Live out of purpose instead of others' expectations. An incredible word, and I got a lot out of it. So while I was sitting there, this thought came to me, crafted, that I would follow on from Ryan's message last week. I've also realized that my place in Good Life in the preaching roster is I'm like Switzerland. So I come and preach between series. So just make sure there's no holes in my message tonight. Come on, that's a dad joke. You meant to laugh at that. And I made a promise to Tim that I'd keep you warmed up so that when he's back, you can laugh at his dad jokes as well. So come on. Tough crowd tonight, tough crowd. Come on, Dan, you meant to warm up more than that. Explain the joke. Oh, yes, it's always funny when you have to explain it. It's much more funny. So tonight I'm going to join together two of my great loves and passions, the church, serving God, and the army where I'm serving as a chaplain. So one of the things that you notice when you join the army is there is a process and there is a format and a protocol for every single thing that you do. Lots of acronyms. It takes a long time to understand what anyone's actually saying, but there is a format for everything. So when it comes to giving orders, we always use the same format, and it goes like this: purpose, method, end state. Every good set of orders has these three things in them, and when they are, orders flow well, and everyone knows what they're meant to be doing, and the mission gets achieved. So my purpose tonight is to preach the gospel to the world. The method I'm going to use is interpretive dance. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. No one wants to see that, and that certainly will not achieve my purpose. No, my method tonight to preach the gospel to the world is through my incredible fashion. See, I got dressed this morning and Helen was out going for a walk, so I actually left the house without her seeing me, so I was very brave leaving the house. And as it turns out, she's not happy with my shoe selection. See, Tim always notices. If you know, Tim will always notice what shoes you wear. And whenever I preached, he's like, "Oh, I see you got your preaching boots on today." So, but I've been told I don't move around enough when I preach. So I thought if I wear sand shoes, then maybe it's not going to change. So I'm not going to use my fashion as the method to preach the gospel. So my method to preach the gospel tonight, I'm going to preach to you for an hour and a half. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that because Ryan would crash tackle me because I didn't meet. Once I get past the 20 minutes, he'll start twitching. So you'll notice that. And then Helen would kill me. So that's not going to happen either. So what is my purpose? What's going to happen tonight? Purpose is I'm going to preach the gospel. The method is I'm going to use my story, my voice, the gifts and skills that God's given me. And the end state in faith is that you will hear a message and that you will leave here more equipped to serve God in the purpose that he has for you in your life. So being a good Anglican, I couldn't resist and not use the Bible readings for today in the traditional series. And in the Anglican church, in traditional churches, we like to skip ahead sometimes in the calendar of the church. So Jesus was only born, you know, 5 or so weeks ago, if that, 2, maybe 3. I'm on holiday, so it's that period of time where you don't really know what's going on. But in the church's calendar, he's baptized today and he's now 33. So we've skipped a few years and Jesus is being baptized. And these are the readings that we will have to celebrate that. The first one's from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4, and it says this: "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teachings, the islands will put their hope." So if we think about Jesus' mission, did this format work for him? Well, what was his purpose? His purpose was to bring justice to the nations. His method was that he would not cry out in the street, he would not break the bruised reed or snuff out the wick. And the end state would be that justice was established on the earth and hope would be brought to the world through his teachings. Well, I don't know about you, but I think Jesus pretty well smashed his mission. When we hear what Isaiah was foretelling and what Jesus did when he finally comes to earth to be with us. So the reading for Jesus being baptized comes from Matthew chapter 3. And we're looking at very short verses today, which is helpful, 13 to 17. And it says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, with whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So we'll have a think about John the Baptist's mission. What was his mission that he was told? He was to be the one to herald the coming of Jesus. So does this still fit for John the Baptist? What was his purpose? To foretell Jesus' coming. What was the method that he used? Well, it was baptizing Jesus with water in the River Jordan. What was the end state? Jesus was declared as God's Son. John's job is now done. And you see, when you understand someone's purpose, their method and their end state, all of a sudden all these things start to make sense, which once upon a time didn't make sense. I'm sure lots of people were wondering with John, why on earth are you walking around dressed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey? It didn't make sense to them. But he traveled through the world, traveled through that area, preparing the way for Jesus. So when we get to the end, all of a sudden, all of those actions, all those methods actually make sense. Well, how does this fit in for us tonight? Well, part of my role as a chaplain is that I get to minister to everyone at every level in the unit that I serve, from the commanding officer down to the new soldier who's only been there for a couple of weeks. And in doing that, I get to see this play out on a daily basis. I work closely with the CO, so I know what his intent is. I know where the direction he's got for us and where he wants us to take. But sometimes I'll see some of the leaders, some of the rank in between. And sometimes what the soldiers are doing has got nothing to do with the CO's intent. They're doing things that don't fit into his plan whatsoever. And so part of my role is to kind of get in there and tease these things out. Almost a bit like undercover boss for the CO, where what the boss of the company expects to be happening is often different to what actually happens on the ground. And we all know that that's because there's something that's gone amiss in the middle somewhere. So as I ask my questions and sort of tease things out, I usually find that, and just by the way of the ages in the army, often those giving the orders on a daily basis are two or three generations away from the soldiers who are actually doing the work. And they grew up in a very different world. They grew up in a world that some of you might remember where you did what you were told. They were the good old days. Maybe. Maybe not. My parents were here at church this morning and I said, I remembered my mum very much grew up in that era. And so we grew up in that era by proxy. And so whenever she asked you to do something and you asked why, her answer was always Zed. That was it. You never got the answer. It was always Zed. You never got to know why. It was just, you need to do as you're told. So as I start to tease this out, I find that those sort of leaders who just say, you must do as you're told because I outrank you, I'm a higher rank than you, you would do as you're told because you have to. Well, jobs get done, but often not very effectively. And usually what happens is those soldiers end up in my office complaining to me because their life kind of sucks, because they don't get what's going on. They don't feel like they're part of a team. They don't get to share any of their wisdom or what they've got. They just come into work and being told what to do. Where this works well is, and I think this is the difference between a good leader, a great leader, and a bad leader. A bad leader is the one who just says, do as you're told. The job kind of gets done, but not very effectively. A good leader is someone who starts now to give them a bit of an idea of their vision or the reason why we're doing something. So all of a sudden, the things they're doing start to make sense. But a great leader is someone who's able to portray all three of these things. They understand the purpose, they've been given the method to use, and they understand the end state, where we're actually heading. And when we know, when we've achieved what we need to achieve, that is what I've seen is what a great leader looks like. Now, in my life, I can say I've been a great leader, I've been a good leader, and I've been a bad leader. And it's in moments of reflections where you look back and you think, why was life so hard when I was trying to do that particular project? Or in the church, why was it so hard when I was trying to change that one thing? Now, I've just got to stop there a moment because I get a bit of PTSD when I think about change in the church and the issues that happens when you're trying to change stuff. But often you can blame all these other people, but when I look back and reflect, I realize that I hadn't done a good enough job of explaining these three things: the purpose why, the method we were using, and what we were trying to achieve in the end. And so you start to understand this format of orders starts to make sense. Understanding our purpose, our method, and our end state. What does it mean for us today as Christians gathered here today, hoping that we might get something out of this service that might change us? Well, I believe that God makes no mistakes. Not one of us are here by mistake tonight, and not one of us are alive today by mistake. God has a purpose for each one of us. There is a godly purpose for every single human being on this earth. And the challenge for us is to try and find what that is. What is the purpose that God has for me? What is the methods that Jesus has provided for us? You see, the Bible is full to the brim of methods. You can read the Bible and you can find all sorts of things here of how we should live or what we should do or how we should act or where we should be. It's jam-packed full of them. But unless we understand our purpose under God, to know what are the right methods to use at the right time, to know how we're working towards the end state that God has called for us, then we can get lost and we can get caught up in this sea of methods. And I think we see this most accurately through Jesus' time on earth when he was dealing with the Pharisees. They dug deep into the Old Testament, into the teachings of Moses, and they decided that these certain methods, that was it. That was the only thing that we had to focus on. If we did all of these things correctly, if we just nailed these methods, then that's all that needed to happen. And you can see in Jesus' teaching, the frustration that he has is that for the Pharisees, those methods that they were using, they became their purpose, their method, and their end state. There was no difference. Having whitewashed cups, dressed in a certain way, cleansing themselves before they came to the temple, all of these actions became the purpose, and they became the end state. They lost the sight of why they started doing them in the first place. They lost the sight of what they were building towards, what they were actually hoping to achieve. So much so that God himself, Jesus, comes in their midst, and they miss him because they were caught up in their methods. They were caught up in these actions they were doing on a daily basis, and those actions had become their purpose, their method, and their end state. So we have a challenge today in how do we respond to that? How do we live our lives today faithfully and bring justice to the life that God has blessed us with? And we can do the same thing still today. We as Christians today can do the same thing. We get caught up in this sea of methods where we're comparing ourselves to other people, where we're looking on Facebook, oh, what are they doing? How many devotions are they doing a day? If I've got to go to Karong and get the latest devotion, that will be the thing that will really set my heart on fire. And we get caught up chasing all of these methods. But what I love about God is he's made us all different. That's why the Bible has so many different ragbag characters, because he wants us to relate to all of those. And we're all different, which means that our purposes are going to be different. Our methods are going to be different. But I believe that we're all working towards the same end state. So the challenge for us that I'm giving you today, and maybe even an order, not that you have to listen to it, I try that with Helen sometimes. It doesn't work out well either. Sorry, dear, you're here. So I've got to make the most of it. So the challenge we have, individually and for a church, do we fully understand God's purpose for us? And I know I've been guilty of this in my own walk with God, where I've been chasing all these things, thinking if I just get this area of my life right, then I'll be closer to God. But I realized that at times I didn't stop to understand what was God's purpose for me in my life. So then the things that I was doing were just random acts, which means they're never going to achieve for me the end state that God has called for me. And I really challenge you as we begin this new year to maybe think about what are the methods you're using you need to put aside. Maybe they made sense at one point in time, but maybe they don't make sense now. You will only know that when you fully understand God's purpose for you right now. Spend time in prayer. Spend time alone with Him and seek His purpose for you in your life. Then He will reveal to you what it is that He wants you to do, the methods He wants you to use, and you will then get this passion on fire for the end state that He's called for us as we understand this thing of purpose, method, end state. See, for the lifestyle that I'm living at the moment, the thing that God's called to me, when we don't understand a purpose, method, end state, methods often don't make any sense. A lot of people in my life, some very close to me, do not understand at all why I'm doing what I'm doing. It makes no sense to them that I would leave my family here and live a million miles away in Darwin. It makes no sense to them, and they can't understand it. And it didn't make sense to me either when I first felt God calling me to do it. And I certainly didn't want to do it. But when I fully understand that knowing clearly God's purpose for me is to bring His light and His word to the lost, and that the method He's given me is to work in the defense force, to share this with people on a daily basis, I can't turn that down. This is God's purpose for me. He's given me a method. And the end state that I believe we all share is that everyone will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. As you seek what you hope to see or what maybe God's calling your purpose to do, I just quickly worked this out today between the services. It might give you a bit of a starting point. What is your purpose? What is our purpose? Well, when you read the Bible, we have an incredible purpose in the Great Commission. Go into the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and preach the good news to the ends of the earth. That's our purpose. What are the methods that Jesus calls us to use? Well, Jesus came and we had the Ten Commandments, and He came and He gave us a revised list in the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't get any simpler than that. And what is the end state? Well, I was during the second service, and I was thinking, I wonder what it says in the last words of Revelation. That would make a really cool end state for me for my message tonight. And so I flipped there, and what does it say? In the last verses of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. Now, this is the end state that God has planned for us, that everyone will get a chance to hear the message of God. Everyone will get a chance to hear the gospel proclaimed to them in word, action, or deed. That everyone in this world might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I believe that's the day when those words will come true. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus will come and He will transform this world. All things will be made right. But we have a job to do in the meantime. We have a part to play in the end state that God has planned for us. As I said, we're not here in random. God makes no mistakes. There are no things He's left to chance. He has a purpose for each one of you, which means there are people in your life that only you can preach to. There are people in your life who you will meet who only you can share this gospel with. And when you fully seek the Lord earnestly to say to Him, what is my purpose? How am I going to achieve that purpose? And what is the end state that you have for me? Then you start to realize that you wake up every day with passion. You wake up every day with a spring in your step. You wake up every day thinking, what am I doing today that's helping to achieve my mission, this purpose, using these methods, working towards this end state? where everyone comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty cool end state that God invites us into. That he actually says, I want you to be part of this. I want to unlock in you this incredible thing. Because when this works well, when I see this working well in all areas of life, the person giving the orders gives the purpose. They then give the methods that need to be used. Then they give the end state. And if they're a good leader, often the people who you're leading actually have some pretty good ideas. Funnily enough, you're not always the smartest person in the room when you're the leader. So when you follow this pattern, then they get to share with you, hey, I understand our purpose and our end state, but the method you've chosen for us, maybe it's not the right one. Maybe we could do it differently and we can achieve our purpose and our end state more effectively. A good leader listens to that. And that way, everyone gets involved in that conversation. Everyone's gifts and skills get to be used to bring forth that end state. I believe that's the kind of church that God has called us into, where everyone feels like they're contributing, where we all feel like we have a voice that we can share. But we have a responsibility kind of both levels, both ways. There's good ways of giving feedback and helpful things, and there's bad ways. But I can guarantee you, in any organization, whether it's a church or any organization, if you go to the leader and you say, I understand the purpose of our organization is this. The methods we've been using are this, but maybe we could do that because that will achieve our end state more effectively. No one can argue with that. And it starts a great conversation. By the way, Ryan, the notices in the men's toilets are still talking about Christmas stuff. You might want to change those. I thought I would just jump ahead and just save. You know, I'm sure someone's been dying to give you that little bit of advice there. But see, if our purpose is to reach the community around here and that want them to be well informed, the method we're using are notices on the back of the door on the men's toilet. Our end state is that people are well informed. So you see how now he's amenable to that. He wants to run out now and change that notice because it fits in. Hey, that'll be good for next year. I'm going to pray. I hope there's something in what I've said tonight that has touched your heart, that you might seek God and really find out, what is the purpose that he's put you here on this earth? What are the things that God has called you to do? What methods, what gifts has he given only you that you might serve him well, and that we pray that there will be this incredible end state where all will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior.